ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् स्टडीयिङ्ग् वेदर् मेडिटेटिङ्ग् अपान् दि मनीषा पञ्चकं फैव् वर्सेस् कम्पोस्ड् बै श्रीशङ्कराचार्य ब्रिङ्गिङ्ग् टुवर्ड्स् the essence of all the scriptures. The story we can recollect, we can choose anyone who is wise as a guru, and that guru must have that wisdom. What is that wisdom? He must be able to see only God in everything. Such a person, whether he was born in what is called a low caste, he may be illiterate, he may be ugly, he may be a very poor person, whatever that person. It is not the body, it's not the mind, but it is the realization. In Chandogya Upanishad, we get a story. There was a king, he was seeking knowledge of Brahman, and he was directed to meet somebody. And this king went in search of him, found him with his body full of disease. And yet the king had the wisdom to bow down to him. That so-called ugly and disease-ridden person, he was able to impart the highest wisdom. Similarly, we also know the story of Jadabharata. Until he taught the highest truth to King Rahugana, everybody was considering him as the dullest of the persons, Jada, as though he was clay, he was a stone, a piece of wood. That's why he was called Jada. But they were getting, unfortunately, all the donkey's work done by him. Did he consider himself as a donkey? Absolutely no. He said, this body, prarabdha, has to go. That's what we are going to discuss here. So, chandalo astu, vijay dvijoha astu. He may be born in a learned Brahmin's family or in a chandala's family. It doesn't really matter. This is the highest truth any spiritual aspirant must learn. Do not look at the outward circumstances. Look what can really help you. And there is a spiritual law. If we are ready, wisdom is ready. God is ready. He will come anywhere, at any time. We have discussed the first verse of it. We have also discussed the second verse. We will just recollect ourselves. ब्रह्मैवाहम् इदं जगत्च सकलं चिन्मात्र विस्तारितं सर्वं च एतत् अविद्यया त्रिगुणया अशेषं मया कल्पितम् इत्थं यस्य दृढा मतिः सुखतरे नित्ये परे निर्मले चाण्डालो अस्तु स तु द्विजो अस्तु गुरुः इत्येष मनीष मम. The essence of what we are going to discuss is not only of this Manisha Panchakam, but of every scripture. Spiritual progress takes place in four stages. The first two stages, Aham Satyam, I am true, I am real, Jagat Satyam, this world is real, Brahman Mithya, God is unreal. Do not be surprised to hear this, because even though we tout with our mouth, God, God, all the time, we cling to our body, to our possessions, to our pet opinions, and God seems, even if He is there, He has nothing to do with me, I have nothing to do with Him. In fact, He has everything to do with me, but I seem to have rejected Him, even though I am loudly proclaiming about God. It is very interesting. There are very charismatic, eloquent speakers evangelists in America. Several of them have been imprisoned now because they were cheating money. All the time they were only shouting God. In God's name, get healed. In God's name, become better. Ultimately, they have been found evading taxes, cheating people, planting spies in the audience to get their news, as if Jesus was whispering all the wisdom about everybody in his ears, etc. And the big, best thing I like it, they were using the latest spy technology to find out the names, neighbors, problems, etc. of these people, and as if God has possessed them and telling them and then cheating them ultimately. That's why Swami Vivekananda says, an atheist who leads a principled life is far superior to a believer who, though talks about God, does puja, goes on pilgrimage, but he will be like the bitter gold kamandalu, which goes to all the tirthas, takes bath, but returns absolutely with the same bitterness. There was a Zen story. There was a Zen master. He had a disciple. After 60 years of discipleship, a disciple felt, I am ready to be a master in my own right. So he was bold enough, daring enough to approach the guru and express his opinion. Guru smiled and said, fine, fine. Just to do one thing, before you become a guru, that's what master means, you take one vegetable which is extremely bitter, like our bitter gourd. There are many gourds like that. Take it and go for 6 months on pilgrimage, visit all the holy Buddhist shrines and come back. And the disciple couldn't understand, he was dull enough. He went round but brought back the bitter gourd. And the teacher asked him that now let us cook this bitter gourd and eat it. Of course, when it is cooked, it will still taste only terribly bitter. At last, the disciple's eyes were opened. Even though the bitter gourd had gone round all the tirthas, its bitterness has not left. What is the analogy? Our clinging to the world, worldliness, is our bitterness. So the first stage is where most of us are now. I am real. That means my body is real. My mind is real. This world is real. God is unreal. But Divine Mother awakens a person by repeated blows. Then he will come to the second stage. What is it? Brahma Satyam. God is real. Aham Satyam. I am real. Jagat Mithya. This world is unreal because all this time I was thinking this world is real, and by the teachings of the scriptures and by the grace of the Guru, I came to know that God alone is real and I have a relationship. Jivatma, Paramatma, me the individual and God the universal are exactly the same thing. Brahma Satyam, then Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha, but Jagat Mithya. This is the second stage. Then by the grace of God, he would have his realization. And then he opens his eyes. Then what does he do? Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything in this, whatever a person experiences through the 5 sense organs, in the 3 states of waking, dream and dreamless state. It's all nothing but Brahman, Brahmarpanam, Brahmavihi, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahma eva tena gantavyam, Brahma karma samadhina. Beautiful word is coined here. This is called karma samadhi, but not ordinary karma samadhi. It is called Brahma karma samadhi. This is the, remember, only the third stage. Then the final stage is nothing can be told, neti neti. The Brahman is not felt, Brahman is not experienced, world is not experienced, I am not experienced. Then is it a state of complete non-existence? No. Existence is there, but we cannot, there is nobody to say, I experience. And this final state has been very curiously put in Brihadaranyaka as well as other Upanishads, especially in the Kena Upanishad. He who knows I am a knower of Brahman is not a knower of Brahman. Why? Because a person who says I am Brahman, and what about this world? That is also Brahman. But this is a stage of Jivan Mukti. When a person is in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Vikalpa means the play of the ripples of the mind. When there is no mind, and when a person becomes one with Brahman, who is to say or not to say, who is to experience or not to experience? That is called Kevalam. That is called Kevalavastha. So, this was being beautifully explained in this second verse. Brahmaiva aham idam, I am Brahman, jagat cha sakalam, not only me, this entire world is also Brahman. Then, who created this Brahman? Chinmatra vistaritam, it has been created by my own imaginations. Sarvam cha etad avidyaya trigunaya asesham maya kalpitam. I have created this entire universe. In our last class, we discussed it. Each one of us are living in our own individual world. There is no other world in which we live. And I cannot enter into your world, and nobody can enter into my world. Like dream. When I dream, even if we are sleeping 1,000 people together, like so many people sitting there together now and then protesting against certain laws, they're all sleeping together. But everyone has got his or her own dreams. It is this waking state is another dream state, purely individual, and our interaction is also imagined only by us. This is a great fact. That's why we can never understand each other completely. But we can understand when we look at each other only from one point, spiritual point, everything is Brahman. The whole world is nothing but a manifestation of pure consciousness. Chit matra vistaritam. Sarvam, everything. Asesham. All these manifold things we experience. Who created it? Brahma created it. I told in my last class about it. Brahma is like the grandmother. She collects all these seeds. If you remember Sri Ramakrishna's gospel, he conveys this meaning, what we are discussing here, and it has been discussed in the Upanishads. Whatever Shankaracharya is telling us is nothing but from the Upanishads, Vedanta. Sri Ramakrishna says, a grandmother is there at home and she puts lots of goats, vegetables, etc. At the end of the season, she collects all the seeds, keeps it in a blue bag, including some blue clay like that. And then when the rainy season starts, she just spreads the seeds in the land which has been cultivated. And that is how Brahma is like that grandmother. She collects the seeds, means our Purva Janma Samskaras. And then when new yuga starts after the Pralaya, each one of us are planted and Brahma provides the field. And we grow in that field, and we grow into each one of our own species, this infinite number of species. Brahma doesn't create, we create ourselves. That means we are responsible for our own individual development, happiness, unhappiness. This is the beautiful Karma Siddhanta, the fourth pillar of Hinduism. And whoever understands, there is nothing else excepting God, and everything is God. This has been beautifully explained by Swami Vivekananda on his explanation of Isavasya Upanishad in one of his talks, which we come across in the Jnana Yoga. Everything is God, God is everything. That is the beautiful explanation. Of course, he explains in his own way. So who created this world? Brahman. How did Brahman create? Because I am Brahman. That means Brahman created means I have created. How did I create? Did I create? No. Kalpitam. It is not Srishti, it is imagination. Itham. Whoever has this firm knowledge of realization, the whole universe is like our dream. In the dream world, one waker creates the entire dream world, dividing himself into three. He, the waker as the witness, the waker as the participant, and the waker in the form of all the objects that he experiences in the dream state. Exactly, this is how Brahman creates or imagines this whole world, imagination. Whoever has this kind of knowledge, what is his state? He always knows, I am that Parabrahman, which is Sukhatare, Nitye, Pare, Nirmale. It is the Shuddha, it is the Supreme, it is the Eternal, it is the Sachidananda. And if a person has that knowledge, Chandalo Astu Saha, let him outside body be a Chandala body, or it may be a Brahmana, highest revered Brahmana. Sa Guru, who he alone deserves to be my Guru, because I am a sincere spiritual aspirant. Iti Esha Manisha Mama. This is my firm conviction. In the third shloka now, Shashvan Nashvarameva Vishwamakhilam Nischitya Vacha Guru Nityam Brahma Nirantaram Vimrushata Nirvyaja Shantatmana Bhutam Bhavicha Dushkrutam Pradaha Samvinmaye Pavake Prarabdhaya Samarpitam Svabapu Ityesha Manisha Mama. All the shlokas end Ityesha Manisha Mama. This is my firm conviction, and that is absolute truth. In this third verse is an elaboration of the second verse. What is it? How am I to realize that everything is Brahman, this universe is Brahman, I have created it with my own imagination, just as we create a dream state. This is a most wonderful analogy. Again and again we have to contemplate on that. What is the analogy? When we enter into the dream state, it is experienced exactly like the waking state. Absolutely no difference. We cannot call it a dream state while we are in that state. We have to call it, that is called the Jagrat Avastha. There is absolutely no difference between waking state and the waking state in the dream. Then why do we call it dream state? Because when we slip away from that dream state and look back and remember what we had dreamt about, and that is what happens, we have to call it dream state. Similarly, when we enter and experiencing that so-called dream state, the whole waking state also is considered to be a dream state. Simple example, many times I have given you, you are in Bangalore and you dreamt you are in Belur Math. And when you are dreaming, you find yourself in Belur Math. If someone meets you and say, how come yesterday I talked with you, you were in Bangalore, that was only 1 hour back, and now you are here in Belur Math. How could you reach? He says, you are stupid, you are dreaming, I am here only for the last several days. Of course, the other fellow had to shut his mouth down because the other fellow is also a dream creation, not a waker creation. A dream can do many things. But in the point, from the viewpoint of waking state, that so-called state which we call dream is a dream state. From the viewpoint of the dream state, the so-called waking state is a dream state. So it goes on changing. So how am I going to get that manisha, that wisdom, that dridha prajna, nitye, nirmale, pare? How can I attain that? Now sadhana is being discussed. According to Advaita Vedanta, there are three steps. So I would say there are actually four steps. What are the four steps? First of all, a person must become an adhikari, a fit person, a fit recipient, even to be given an instruction by the guru. This is called sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. For the sake of discussion, we can remember during the what is called discussion about Brahma Sutras. The very first sutra starts atha, ataha, adhato, Brahma Jignasa. And Shankaracharya, our revered guide, he says, ataha, now. Now means what? Ataha, therefore. Therefore, wherefore? Wherefore means now. You have gone for many janmas through the karmakanda, through the priyomarga. Now you have awakened, and then you have acquired sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, and you have become an adhikari. After the acquisition of adhikara, you do not go back. There is no need to go back to the karmakanda. For dharmakanda, yes, you have to study the first part of the Vedas. Remember, Vedas are divided into two parts, karmakanda and jnanakanda, which I like to name it as dharmakanda, not mere karmakanda, but dharmakanda and brahmakanda. Why brahmakanda? Because if we say jnanakanda, jnanamarga means, there is only one path. That is called jnanamarga. If we say brahmakanda, that is Brahman is the ultimate realization. But as Ramakrishna says, Brahman can be realized through bhakti, through service, divine service, through meditation, Raja Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga is one of the paths. Again and again, we have to remember this. But if we say, call it by Jnanakanda, then people will go on emphasizing. Jnanakanda is not Jnana Marga. This is greatest mistake these people commit. Jnanam or Brahman is the goal. That is why it is called Brahmakanda or Jnanakanda. Jnanam and Jnana Margam are entirely two separate issues. Jnanam, which is Brahman, is our goal. But Jnana Marga is one of the only paths. In fact, if you take Sri Ramakrishna, he never said there are only four paths. He said, Jato Mat Tato Pad. As many faiths, so many paths. Are there five? Yes. Can they be 100? Yes. Can they be a billion? Yes, they can be. Is it confusing? Not confusing. Even though there are so many paths, every person is fit actually to take only one path. In fact, God will not allow him to travel through any other path because he knows, my child wants to come to me and this is the easiest path, best path for him. And so he will come to me through this path. This is what Swami Brahmananda was telling, that everyone is being led to God by God. But he says, some people are taken straight, some people, they go on going round and round and round, some people through what we call royal path, and some people through path full of thorns, pitfalls, dangers, etc. And then he issues a very surprising statement. Swami Brahmanandaji, what does he say? Some people are advancing to God even through murdering. It is a big discussion. Can a person move towards God by murdering somebody else? I'll just give you one small hint. If you come across a very evil person who is about to kill your children and lot of children, and you have a gun and you know how to use the gun, will by killing him, are you going to go towards God? Yes. Why? Because your killing is not out of pure selfishness, not to gain something, but to serve the whole world. In fact, every country's army's only purpose is to kill as many of these enemies as possible, all of course in the name of war, but they are not punished. On the other hand, they are rewarded. So everyone is advancing, some through straight path, some through crooked paths. This idea again has been expressed in so many ways, but in Sivamahimna Stotram, we get it. All rivers, wherever they are originating, some come straight and fall into the ocean, some go round and round, and then at last, ultimately, join the ocean, sarvam namarupe vihaya, giving up their individual names and special qualities and become one with the ocean. So what are we talking here? That we have to choose a particular path, and we are not capable of choosing it. Only the Guru is capable of choosing it. But for the Guru to be accepted by him as his disciple, first thing is we have to be fit by acquiring Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi, Shatka Sampatti and Mumukshutva. Once the Guru understands we are fit, then he initiates us into what is called Mahavakya. And then we have to do sadhana. How? Through Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. This was what I meant. There are four stages. First stage, become an adhikari by acquiring sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatti, the treasure of fourfold qualifications. Then approach Sadguru, surrender yourself to him completely, be initiated by him. That means you surrender yourself to him and do exactly as he says. And after he instructs you, Shravana, first of all, you go on listening, how many times? Until you have faith in it. Then, like the pearl oyster, having received the Guru Mantra, you dive deep, and that is called Manana. Manana means remove all doubts, intellectual doubts. And doubts are divided into three categories: wrong understanding, partial understanding, and right understanding. So, to understand something completely opposite, that has to be eliminated. Then there will be some understanding, some misunderstanding. That has to be completely removed. That is the function of manana. Deep thinking until every single doubt is removed. Chidyante sarvasamshayaha. Then what is left? If we are succeeding in doing these two steps, the third step is our mind will not go here and there. If the mind is going here and there, that means we have not heard properly, we have not understood properly, our doubts are not removed. In fact, we do not believe what the Guru says. We believe only what the Mahamaya says or what the world says. But the third stage is called Nididhyasana. That means the mind will not go here and there because it has understood at last God alone is real, everything else is unreal. When a sadhaka practices these steps, then he will realize. And what does he realize? That's being graphically described in this third verse. Shashvat Nashvarameva Vishvam Akhilam Nischitya Vacha Guruho Guruho Vacha. By the instruction of the Sadguru, Shashti Vibhakti, sixth case, possessive case, by hearing. What does Guru's Vacha mean? Guru's Vacha means you can read the same truth in a scripture, in a book, from somebody's lecture, as we are doing, you are all doing now. You can hear from many, many sources, but it will not be convincing. Only when it comes from the mouth of an authentic guru, only then conviction will come. Otherwise, no. That too, as we just now discussed, will take time. First go on hearing, and then afterwards slowly it may be, and then it without doubt what Guru said is absolute truth. I remember a story, though not directly related, but very helpful story. There was a pilot of a ship, and then a young boy about 15 years old joined the ship as an assistant, and the navigator of the ship, he called this boy and said, "My son, do one thing. Supposing you happen to slip for whatever reason into the ocean, don't panic, don't struggle, just stay alive by making the least bits of movement. The moment we come to know you are missing, we will come looking for you." And the boy said, "Yes, sir, that's what I will do." And he had immense faith in that person, the pilot of the ship. So after a few days, it so happened, one day there was perhaps, whatever, I do not remember the real incident. This is a real incident. And then he slipped, he fell down, nobody noticed him, and then he remembered Guru's words that do not panic, do not struggle too much out of panic, stay calm. The moment we miss, then we will come searching for you. It took nearly at least 8 to 10 hours to notice that this boy was missing. And then the pilot remembered. He said, "Where was the last time we had seen him?" And they calculated and went back so many hours, and then they found the boy still conscious, still just floating, because his guru told him, and he was rescued. So if a worldly person can have so much of faith in another worldly person, there are great people, in fact, there are pilots of the aeroplanes who risked their own lives until the last passenger has been bailed out. They would not come out. Many times they also had perished along with the falling of the aeroplane. But there are also other people, that's not our concern. This tremendous faith in the teacher. Another fact I have to bring to your notice. I used to read this Reader's Digest, especially Great Lives, Great Deeds. The Reader's Digest had collected the lives of great people and in a very beautiful manner presented great lives and great deeds in a 400 to 500 page book. That is one of the most inspiring books I have come across. Of course, they were not spiritual people, but great people nevertheless. So there were these people were there, that the beautiful incidents were there. There also, same thing has happened. There are people who would sacrifice their lives, but they will not compromise any principles at all. If worldliness could bring so much of greatness by just having faith, then what to speak of spirituality? So there was one reminiscence was there. There was a great man. And then there were some journalists who came to know. And then they made a special project. They wanted to know what was the inspiration behind the greatness of these so-called great people. I went and interviewed several people, and it came so surprisingly that many of them had studied under one female teacher. I do not remember her name. She used to inspire them. Children, always live with these principles. Be disciplined. She was sweet. She was strict. At the same time, she was full of compassion like a grandmother. And then these people, a few of them, of course, not everybody, imbibed her instructions, teachings, became really great, and with gratefulness, they remembered her, and they used to go to her, and she was not rich. She retired by that time, but every of these great people, many of these great people, they attributed their greatness to that one single influential teacher who was behind. So we have to remember, even in worldly greatness, a person becomes great either by the influence of the father or mother or a teacher, etc. That's why Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. Anyway, coming back to our subject, if you ask Ramakrishna, who was the pole star of your life, he would, without hesitation, instantaneously, without thinking, he will say, my father. He never deviated from truth even by one millimeter. And he said, I thought at the beginning that he is my ideal. I will lead my life just as my father led, pure, devoted, and absolutely truthful. So, Guroha Vachaha, from the instructions of the Guru. Who is the Guru? Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo, Maheshwara. Simply, touting these stotras will not do. If anybody really believes his Guru is Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, that means none other than God, then he will have faith in the teaching, and he will have more faith in the teaching than even the Guru, and he is sure to realize God. This is what Sri Ramakrishna often used to quote. There is a oyster. It is called pearl oyster. It will be awaiting for a drop of rain when the star is in that particular constellation called Swati. Once it gets this, then it clamps shut and then dives deep to the bottom of the ocean, will not come out until the pearl is completely formed. That is the understanding of Guru Vachaha. And what does Guru say? This Akhilam Vishwam, this whole universe, Shashvat Nashvaram Evaha, always. Shashvat means for all times. What is it? Nashvaram. Shva means tomorrow. Nashva, not tomorrow, means it doesn't remain even till tomorrow. We know now every millisecond, Kala, along with Kala, time, everything is changing. Maybe we may not notice it, everything is changing. That's why we call it Jagat. Jagat means Gati, Gat, Gati means movement. Every millisecond, everything is moving along with the time. 1 second old, 1 millisecond old, 1 minute old, 1 day old, everything is becoming old. This is what Shankaracharya calls invisible death. From the words of the Guru, this whole universe is completely to be believed that it is unreal. Unreal means not non-existence. Unreal means it is changing all the time. Then, Nityam, is there anything unchanging? Yes. What is that? It is called Brahma. What is that nature of Brahma? Nityam. That means it is completely eternal. Eternal means it is beyond time, kalatita, and nirantaram, all the time. What should we do? Aham brahmasmi, vimrushata, go on discriminating. I am real, world is unreal. ஐ ஆம் ரியல், வேர்ல்ட் இஸ் அன்ரியல். திஸ் இஸ் கால்ட் விவேக புத்தி, விவேச்சனா, விவேகா. அண்ட் சிம்பிளி வி ஆல்சோ டூ தட், இட் வில் நாட் ஒர்க். வை? நிர்வியாஜ சாந்த ஆத்மனா, தி மைண்ட் மஸ்ட் பி கம்ப்ளீட்லி அண்டர் கண்ட்ரோல். தட் இஸ் தி பர்பஸ் ஆஃப் தி தேர்ட் சாதன சுஷ்டே சம்பத்தி ஷம தமாதி ஷட்க சம்பத்தி. தென் தி மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் சாந்த, அப்சல்யூட்லி பீஸ்ஃபுல். தட் மீன்ஸ் இட் வில் நாட் டூ திங்ஸ் வி ஹவ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட். வென் தி மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் பீஸ்ஃபுல், இட் வில் ஆல்வேஸ் திங்க் ஓன்லி, ரிஃப்ளெக்ட் ஓன்லி அப்பான் காட், வாட் எவர் பி தி சர்க்கம்ஸ்டன்சஸ். செகண்ட்லி, இட் வாட் எவர் ஹேப்பன்ஸ் இன் லைஃப், சுகா துக்கா சீதா உஷ்ணா, தட் வில் நாட் எஃபெக்ட் சச் எ மைண்ட். தட் இஸ் கால்ட் சாந்தாத்மா, பிரசாந்த மனசம் ஹேனம். இன் தி பகவத்கீதா ஆல்சோ வி கெட் இட், பிரசாதே சர்வபூத் சர்வதுக்கானாம் ஹானிரஸ்ய உபஜாயதே. ஸோ பை திஸ் பிரசாத மன மைண்ட் பிகம்ஸ் அப்சல்யூட்லி ஃபில்ட் வித் இன்டிஸ்கிரைபபிள் பீஸ். தட் இஸ் கால்ட் சாந்தாத்மனா. அண்ட் நிர்வியாஜா, நிர்வியாஜா மீன்ஸ் வித்தவுட் டிவியேட்டிங் ஃப்ரம் தட் சிங்கிள் தாட். வாட் இஸ் தி தாட்? நித்தியம் நிரந்தரம் பிரம்மா, அகம் பிரம்மாஸ்மி, ஐ எம் பிரம்மன், ஐ எம் பிரம்மன், ஐ எம் பிரம்மன். திஸ் இஸ் வாட் a person has to go on doing at the beginning. So, I am Brahma. What about the world? Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. This world is Mithya. These two words have been described, elaborated in this verse. But having done this one, then what about so many things will happen? We are all completely bound, shrunkhala, by our karma phala. கர்ம ஃபலா ஆர் ஆஃப் த்ரீ டைப்ஸ், சஞ்சிதா, பிராரப்தா அண்ட் ஆகாமி. ஏ சாதகா மஸ்ட் கோ ஆன் புட்டிங் அப் வித் தெம். தட் இஸ் வாட் இஸ் பீங் டிஸ்கிரைப் இன் தி தேர்ட் லைன். பூதம் பாவிச்ச துஷ்கிருதம் பிரதா சம்வின்மயே பாவகே. பாவகே மீன்ஸ் இன் தி ஃபயர். ஃபயர் ஆஃப் வாட்? சம்வித் நாலெட்ஜ். வாட் இஸ் தி நாலெட்ஜ்? அஹம் பிரம்மாஸ்மி ஜகத் மித்யா. இன் தட் ஃபயர் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ் விச் நோஸ், விச் இஸ் பர்னிங் பிரைட்லி, திஸ் வேர்ல்ட் இஸ் நாட் ரியல், இட் இஸ் ஓன்லி அன் அப்பியரன்ஸ், ஐ தி பிரம்மன் எலோன் இஸ் ரியல். கான்ஸ்டன்ட்லி தட் ஃபயர் இஸ் பர்னிங். ஹவு டு வி நோ? பிரதஹதா, இட் நெவர் கோஸ் அவுட், இட் இஸ் கான்ஸ்டன்ட்லி பிளேசிங் ஃபோர்த். தென் வாட் ஆர் வி சப்போஸ் டு டூ? பூதம் பாவிச்ச, பூதம் மீன்ஸ் சஞ்சித கர்ம, பரன் தி சஞ்சித கர்ம. ஹவு கேன் வி பரன்? தே ஹவ் நாட் ஈவன் இர் போரன் தேர். சிம்பிளி பை சேயிங் ஐ எம் நாட் தி பாடி அண்ட் ஐ எம் நாட் தி மைண்ட், பை தட் திஸ் பூதா, தி சஞ்சித கர்ம வில் கோ. இஃப் ஐ ஆம் நாட் தி பாடி மைண்ட், தென் ஐ கெனாட் பி எ கிரியேட்டர் ஆஃப் கர்ம ஃபலா இன் ஃபியூச்சர். பாவி மீன்ஸ் தட் விச் இஸ் கோயிங் டு கம் இன் தி ஃபியூச்சர். பாவி is equivalent to agami. Dushkrutam, all evil deeds. Interesting, because does a sadhaka do only evil deeds? No. Actually, what he does, in the beginning he might do because of the strength of past samskaras, but deliberately, consciously, he will try to avoid all evil deeds, try to do only the right deeds. But according to Vedanta, both dharma and adharma, both are bondages. That's what Swami Vivekananda describes in his the Sannyasin, Song of the Sannyasin. Says even golden shackles are only shackles, even though they are made up of gold. If you are tied all over your body with a thick rope made up of pure gold, may be studded with diamonds, when you are bound, what good will it do to you? It will not allow you to move, it will not allow you to enjoy anything. If at all, it is only bring you misery, more misery. Why? Because if you are tied with ordinary rope, you know it is worthless. But if you are tied with a golden chain, then you, if only I were free, I could be one of the billionaires in this world. I could have done so many things. And you are seeing it in front of you, and your misery will be a millionfold. And it grows from second to second, more and more. Anyway, that is all my imagination. But even golden chains are also nevertheless chains. Sannyasin bold, say, Om Sat Sat, Om, I am not affected by it. So, what are we talking about? Even so-called dharma is also a bondage. Because sukha dukkha only deepen the bonds in this world. But the Atman is beyond sukha and dukkha. That's why in the Katha Upanishad we had discussed. So, that which is beyond dharma and beyond adharma, beyond the past and beyond the future, beyond what is done and beyond what is not done. Whatever is beyond, that means whatever is beyond body and mind. That means everything what we call Brahman has nothing to do with body and mind, which is called upadhi, which is called limitation. That which is limitless, that which is infinite, that is beyond body and mind. So, bhutam bhavicha duskrutam. So, pradahata, go on burning. What do you mean by burning? Are there some firewood and you just gather it, put a little bit of petrol and take up a matchstick and burn? No, you burn them through your knowledge. What is the knowledge? Body is unreal. Whatever body is done is unreal. Mind is unreal. Whatever has been thought and spoken by the mind is also unreal. It doesn't affect me. What can it do to me? This type of self-knowledge is what is meant here, blazing fire. That means, do not allow the effects of both dharma and adharma, that you be beyond all of them. Okay, you can perhaps avoid that which is accumulated sanchita, and you are doing good deeds, but with this idea, I am not the doer, so the karma phala will not come to me. But what about the prarabdha, which has already started, which brings, remember, both happiness and unhappiness. Sri Ramakrishna had to go both through happiness and unhappiness, perhaps more unhappiness than happiness. What about Swami Vivekananda? He said, this world is the Tantalus hell. It is worse than Tantalus hell. Greek mythology, Tantalus hell is there. It is worse than that. I cannot believe, because he knows what he was talking about, how much good he was trying to do. The very people to whom he did good, that those very people so conspired many times against him. I'll just give you a small incident. There was an aunt of Swami Vivekananda. As soon as Vishwanath Datta passed away, that aunt and uncle, they tried their level best to drive away Swami Vivekananda and his mother, everybody, because there were many children were there, 7 or 8 children were there. Everybody, Bhuvaneshwari Devi, they tried to kick them out. And yet they were living by the bounty, generosity of Vishwanath Datta so long. And those very aunt, she tried. And Swamiji had to go to court. Then funny thing happened. They somehow, they could not take away the house. And then Swamiji retained the house. And then one day that same aunt approached Swami Vivekananda. I don't have anywhere to stay. Will you please give me some money? I would like to purchase something. So he gave money. And then that auntie said that I have a house. If you wish, I can sell it to you. I will sell it to you for 500 rupees. Swami Vivekananda believed her and gave 500 rupees. Having taken 500 rupees, she refused to give that house. Now, somehow Swamiji had to go to the court and then get back the house. After that, really that aunt was in real trouble. And then she approached again. Belay, you please help me. What was Swami Vivekananda's reaction? He said, you might have done bad to me, but I am not going to do take revenge upon you. I will do whatever best I can do to help you. That's why Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya describes these great people, Vasantavat Lokahitam Charantaha. These great people go on wandering throughout the world after realization, only doing good, like the spring season brings back renewed vigor and life to everything in this world. So, prarabdhaya samarpitam swavapuhu. So, whatever this body goes through, this is, it is all because of prarabdha, it has been offered to it. I remember a beautiful incident. Sri Ramakrishna was suffering from throat cancer. A hole developed in his throat and it was being filled with pus. Holy Mother was there. She will take a small wick made out of cotton and at the end of a small stick, she will insert that cotton wick and then gently try to clean. And one day Sri Ramakrishna was graphically describing the moment this wick touched. Do you know how I am feeling? I am feeling a sharp, serrated penknife. If you put it and then push it back and forth like a saw, how a person feels, that is how I was feeling the pain. And Holy Mother could understand that. Then she was hesitating to put that wick. Sri Ramakrishna smiled and said, what is it to you? Don't you clean the hurricane lantern chimney with cotton? Treat this also exactly the same way. Do not hesitate. That is the nature of the body, nature of the disease, and you have to do what you have to do. I have to put up with it. So, that is how this swabhapushuhu prarabdhaya samarpitam. Do not doubt whether Sri Ramakrishna had any prarabdha. He took up voluntarily the burden of other people's sins. That is his prarabdha. Of course, I make fun of these avataras. Many devotees say, an avatara, God incarnates out of compassion. I will say, compassion, my foot, is all prarabdha. What prarabdha? Who created this world? Who created this mess? You created this mess. And who is going to clean it up? You are going to clean it up. An avatara has to clean up. He comes to clean up this. It is also true. Don't think it is fun. Anyway, if he didn't want to clean it up, he need not have created this world at all. Then there would not have been any this thing. So, prarabdha. How it should be done? So, samarpitam swavapuhu. Let this body go through this prarabdha. And those who have studied the life of Ramana Maharshi, they can very well understand. A small growth started. There is a graphic description in Suri Nagamma's letters from Ramanashrama. Somebody noticed it. It was becoming red. It was growing day by day. And then he used to joke. Do you see, there is some fabulous mani called Surya Mani. It's very bright. And this is my Surya Mani. It is noticeable. It is becoming reddish, extremely painful. And doctors saw, they wanted to cut it off. First they treated with medicine, then they cut it off. For a few days it subsided. And then with renewed vigor, it started growing vigorously. Second time they did something, he put up with it. And even though painful, he never took any anesthesia. And the doctors were shocked. Like Swami Turiyananda, he allowed the doctor to cut a painful carbuncle on his hand. Third time, it started to growing even more fast, even more vigorously. Then the doctors wanted to do, he said, you have done enough. It will be all right by itself. They did not understand. What it meant is, this is my prarabdha. I have to go with this. Some excuse has to be there. And within a short time, in I think April 1950, if I am not wrong, he simply 2-3 days he was sick and he could not speak. And then he was lying down and people thought he was unconscious. And people came to know he was going to pass away. Then they all came to have the last darshana. This great lady, Suri Nagamma, she was in the queue. She was shedding tears. And then she was thinking, Bhagavan, can I not have your gracious glance at least once? As soon as she came near, slowly Ramana Maharshi opened his eyes, looked straight into her eyes, and then he closed his eyes. This was graphically described by these letters from Sri Ramanashrama. What is my point? Every saint puts up with the prarabdha as if it belongs to somebody else. This is what is meant. Prarabdhaya svavapuhu samarpitam. This is how a sadhaka had to live. So through Guru's teachings, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. Then whatever he avoids, he burns all the accumulated karma through the knowledge, I am not the body, mind. He will never do anything wrong. He will do everything that is right, yes, but he will not want any results of it. So Sanchita is burnt and Agami is burnt. And whatever the condition of the body, he accepts it gladly as if somebody else is suffering, not himself. So any person who does this sadhana, such a person has got this firm conviction that I am Brahman, iti esha mama manisha. Such a person, he may be a chandala, low caste person, or a great brahmana, learned brahmana, doesn't matter, sayeva mama guruhu, and no other person. These beautiful ideas, what is the goal and what is the way, has been described here, and we will discuss in our future classes the further two shlokas. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.